and get to actually the book of Acts. Would you turn there? It's listed on the beginning of our note sheets, Acts chapter 17. I'll try to quickly, although there's a lot of critical background material for the book of 1 and 2 Thessalonians, and it's helpful for us to remember all these things so that we can better understand the material that's in the brief books, really. Brief books, five chapters in 1 Thessalonians, 3 and 2 Thessalonians, and they're not long chapters either. But really critical stuff, a lot of critical things that are happening in those books. So as we come to 1 Thessalonians, the background here we find in Acts chapter 17, this is where Paul actually begins his ministry in Thessalonica. Beginning in verse 1, Acts chapter 17. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. So they had just been in Philippi, actually, chapter 16. They traveled about 100 miles southwest down to Thessalonica. In fact, the modern-day Thessalonica is still there, in the sense it's still called Thessalonica, spelled with a K instead of a C at the end. But you can still find it on your map. Very interesting. You might want to just take Google Maps or your map app and enjoy looking around a little bit of where Paul actually traveled. Anyways, I'll keep on going. There's stuff I'd like to say, but I'm not going to, all right? The incidental things. So as he comes to Thessalonica, there's a synagogue there of the Jews, verse 2, and Paul, as his manner was, he obviously went to the Jews first, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. So he's there 3 weeks reasoning in the synagogue, and what does he do there? He's opening and alleging, he's opening their minds and setting before them and teaching that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. All right, so Jesus is the Messiah. And some of them, the Jews there in the synagogue, believed, consorted, they were added to a group of believers with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks. Now, this is speaking here, the Greeks are the Gentiles. This is actually, this is talking about their culture. They were Greek in culture. Remember, there are times where the word in our English translation is the word Greek, and it's talking about Hellenized Jews. This is a different Greek word here, and it's talking about actual Gentiles, if I can put it that way, but they have the Greek culture. Devout Greeks and a great multitude, and of the chief women, so these are prominent women, more than likely the wives of some of the ranking men of the city, even a part of the what we'd maybe call the city council, their wives and so forth. So of the chief women, not a few, all right? So whatever the prominent women were there, they got saved too. Amazing, all right? What joy. The Jews, though, verse 5, which believed not moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd, wicked men of the baser sort, they were the hucksters, all right, and gathered a company and set all the city on an uproar and insulted the house of Jason and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain of the brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, "These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also." Isn't it interesting? No, the Thessalonians or the Thessalonians had an upside down world, and yet they call the Christians upside down, right? And they've turned the world upside down. Don't get excited when the world says we're messing everything up, because to them we are. They don't realize, and that's the sad part. They believed a lie. They're the ones messed up. They don't have Christ. We just saw it there in 2 Corinthians, what we were just talking about in our memory verse. So interesting. What an interesting concept. So, whom Jason hath received. So verse 7, after they left the synagogue, it appears they went to the house of Jason. And these all do contrary, verse 7, to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus. And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. Now, very interesting, because just probably a matter of maybe a year or two at the most, ahead of this riot, there had been a riot in Rome under Claudius, right? Claudius Caesar, and he had cast out the Jews out of Rome because of the riots that they had risen. So what's going on here is the Jews are doing somewhat the same thing that happened in Rome, and the leaders of Thessalonica are really concerned because it's like, this was not good. This could bring Roman power down on us, and we don't want that. I'll explain that in just a minute. So when they had taken security, verse 9, of Jason, so essentially had to post bond, just like we post bond today, and it appears as though that bond was is that Silas and Paul would leave town and not return. Jason had to put up bond and say, okay, I'm gonna guarantee that Paul and Silas won't come back. And of the other, they let them go. So they said, all right, you put some money down saying you're going to, and we'll go, we'll get it out of here. I think the clue here, or a good supposition, is that the rulers of Thessalonica realized there's something hokey going on here. And I don't think Paul and Silas are the real trouble. It's the ones that are creating the riot that are real trouble. But in order to calm the riot, they ask Paul and Silas to get out of town, okay? And politicians will do whatever they can to bring peace, all right? They just don't ruffle any problems. I mean, it's true today, just like it was, 2,000 years ago. It's the same thing, all right? Men are men, all right? Verse 10. And the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas by night unto Berea. That's about 40 miles. So they travel about 40 miles on foot. Berea is south of Thessalonica, south and again a little west of Thessalonica. Who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble, all right, these Jews in Thessalonica, in that they at least received the word, they were listening, and they searched the scriptures to see what Paul was saying was actually true. So they're studying their Old Testament scriptures and finding out that what Paul is saying is true. Therefore, many of them believed. The result is, as Paul presents the truth of the gospel, they study their scriptures and say, Paul's right, they get saved. Also of honorable women again, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. But the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached to Paul and at Berea. They came thither also and stirred up the people. So the troublemakers come down to Berea and make trouble. And then immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go, as it were, to the sea. But Silas and Timotheus abode there still. So Silas and Timothy stay in Berea for a moment. Paul heads to the sea. And they that conducted Paul brought him unto Athens. So it appears as though some people traveled with him all the way down to Athens. Now, from Berea to Athens, Athens is basically due south of Thessalonica and Berea, down on the Grecian peninsula there. But we're talking 260 miles. This is a long distance away. More than likely what happened is Paul went to the sea, which wasn't far from Berea. Berea was not a port city, but was off the coast not too far. Go down to the coast, grab a ship, take ship straight down to Athens, down just about the bottom of the peninsula. I guess I should go your side, and come into the harbor at Athens, essentially. And what does he do there? And then immediately, verse 14. Verse 15. And the people that brought him to Athens received a commandment. I'm in the middle of the verse. Unto Silas and Timotheus, for to come to him with all speed, and they departed. So the people that helped Paul down to Athens, Paul says, please go back to Berea, tell Timothy and Silas, come, I want you to meet me at Athens. Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit and so forth, and then we have the whole message on Athens, and it's really here at verse 15 that we pick up even some of the chronology in the book of 1 Thessalonians. So there's a little bit of the background, a couple more notes on our note sheets. Thessalonica was a free city. This is stuff that you can just write in. It had been made a free city from the time of Antony and Octavian, all right, which later became Caesar Augustus, all right. They beat Brutus and Julius Caesar, all right. And because of the help that the Thessalonians had given to Antony and Octavian, they actually made Thessalonica a free city. Which what did that mean? Well, that meant that there were really no Roman troops stationed in Thessalonica. They simply had a proconsul there from Rome, a governor. We do know that it was really acted kind of like a city-state within the Roman Empire. So they had a lot of freedom for self-government there. That was the joy of being a free city. We do know from recorded history, as well as I buzzed through it here in chapter 17. It talks about this, what I said, the city council. That actually the Greek word there would, and a word that's translated into the English, they would be the polytarchs. That's an old English word, and it's essentially a city council that didn't have a mayor, but it was a group of five or six men that together as a committee, it's a committee run city. You can imagine the problems, right? Anyways, but that's what they did. They had a committee run city of polytarchs that were over the city. They had a senate as well. So somewhat of a representative government as far as the Senate goes. And then they as well had a public assembly. So there was a little bit of what we would call a republican form of government within that city-state. A lot of individual freedom as a result of that. And that seems to play in a little bit to why the Thessalonians were such a godly group of people. They were willing and able to think on their own and stand up on their own. It's kind of interesting. Thessalonica was one of the chief ports of Macedonia. It was on the Ignatius Way, or the Ignatian Way, which was the main road from Rome all the way to the Orient. And that passed through Thessalonica. Thessalonica was at the top of that Grecian peninsula there before you step into Asia, essentially. And so it came from Rome over top across the Italian peninsula into Thessalonica and then on into the Orient. That meant that they had a lot of cross-cultural people. It was a good hub economically and so forth because of the port being there, the Ignatius Way being there, which was, you know, a paved road. That was a paved road back in then. And so forth. So you can still, I believe, even in Thessalonica today, there are some of the Ignatian Way still exposed and ready there. It was therefore the capital of Macedonia. So even though Philippi was a main city and was the first city that Paul came to in Macedonia, Thessalonica is the capital. Okay, now, how long did Paul stay there? And we'll run through these points and then be done for the evening. Here are some clues. And these references, as you can see, are actually in the book of 1 and 2 Thessalonians. If it's just the chapter and verses you see on our notes, that's from the book of 1 Thessalonians. We know from chapter 2, verse 9, well, why don't we turn there? Instead of me just telling you, let's listen, all right? So get back to the book of Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 2, verse 9. For you remember, brethren, our labor and travail for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto you, we preached unto you the gospel. So they did the trade. He was a tent maker. And I won't read chapter 3, verse 8, but he references it as well there in 2 Thessalonians 3:8. So how long did they stay? Well, I realize his trade was something that you could almost just pick up and start right away and then stop right away. But it was enough to, you know, if I can put it this way, it was enough to get the sewing machine set up. All right, and get going and actually go to the market and sell the stuff. So remember, we had said that he was in the synagogue for 3 weeks, but then for some time after that, because then they were working in the house of Jason, so there was some work done there. All right, Philippians chapter 4, don't turn there, but Paul says there, ye sent once and again unto my necessities, and he references Thessalonica while I was in Thessalonica. So the Philippians had more than once sent a support offering, sent their support check. It wasn't a check, all right, but support check down to Paul, while 100 miles south, from Philippi down to Thessalonica. So he had to be there for at least, probably I would say at this point, this is starting to push it out to at least several months, because Philippi sent a support check once, and then they found out that there was further need, so they sent another support check, all right, so we're seeing that this time is expanding a little bit. Chapter 1, verse 8. So 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 8. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in a Macedonia, that state, but in Achaia, the state south, where Athens was, but also in every place your faith to God word is spread abroad, so that we need not speak anything. Paul is saying that this has already happened. Their faith had spread abroad. And we do know that he wrote the book of 1 Corinthians, Corinth, not long after he was in Thessalonica. So it appears as though that it had spread for a time, again, expanding the time a little bit, so that the gospel went out. That takes a little bit of time to travel, all right? It's not like the internet's there for them. It had to move by foot, by ship, and the gospel spreading out to even the churches that Paul had already established. Again, and 1 Corinthians being written not long after he was in Thessalonica. And let me get that right. I think he was still in Thessalonica when it was spread. So it had to take some time there. And then chapter 4, verse 1. We do know, as it mentions here, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. They had started growing in the Lord already. At the time in Thessalonica, he had to finally flee, but there was enough time for them that Paul could actually see growth, and so he tells them, don't start growing. He says, keep growing. You're abounding. Keep growing. So then in conclusion, and as we finished out the page here, and then it appears as though the time was probably a matter of months, and it could have even been spread to almost a year. That wouldn't be without outside the parameters of the biblical facts that we can tie together, that he was in Thessalonica. And so then he writes, and he wanted to come unto them, to verse 17 and 18, this is under the occasion of writing, but Satan hindered him, he says there in chapter 2, verse 17 and 18. There was some interference and something that kept him from coming back. Well, as the Thessalonians went to Berea and persecuted him there, and he knew that there was resistance still. If he tried to go back to Thessalonica, there had been problems. So he had to consequently head down to Athens. In chapters 3, verses 1 to 5 here, we know that Timothy was sent from Athens. So remember that as we read in Acts, Paul goes down from Berea to Athens, sends for Timothy back in Berea, 260 miles back. Then he had to come down 260 miles, all right? And then Paul had to hear from, or be concerned about what's going on, be concerned about what's going on in Thessalonica. So he finally sends Timothy back up to Thessalonica. What's going on? How's it going? And then Timothy comes back from Thessalonica. So Timothy and Berea, down to Athens, back up to Thessalonica, all right, 300 and some odd miles, back down to Athens to find Paul. And Paul's not in Athens, but now he's in Corinth, all right. Finally, that's where Timothy returns to Corinth and gets the report. Paul gets the report from Timothy. They're staying faithful to the Lord. They love you. And that's when, that's chapter 3, verse 6 and 7, Timothy gives a joyful report, and Paul finally writes the book of 1 Thessalonians. So a lot of, we can piece together a lot of the details going on. Persecution in Thessalonica, Paul leaves, goes to Berea, goes to Athens. Timothy joins Paul in Athens, goes back up to Thessalonica to find out what's happening, comes back to Paul, not in Athens, but over in Corinth now, and finally gets a good report. And now Paul finally will write the letter to the book, to the Thessalonians, the book of 1 Thessalonians. So our best judgment then is that it was probably somewhere, we know it's between 50 and 54 A.D., but probably closer to 51 A.D. 51 A.D. or so was probably the time. And we know that it was probably the second inspired book that Paul wrote. Paul wrote Galatians first, and then 1 Thessalonians. So one of Paul's early books while Paul was in Corinth. All right, there we go. There's where Corinth fits in my mind. Okay, so there's all the background, all this movement, a lot of ability and freedom. Let us rejoice in the fact that Paul saw maturity throughout this process. Even though they were facing persecution, Paul's heart is burdened as a spiritual father for them. Yet the report comes back from Timothy. Even in persecution, even these young believers, in the Lord for a year, year and a half, we're staying faithful to the Lord. May God help us to grow people in the Lord here at Heritage Baptist Church so that they can stand up to the pressures that Satan and the world put on the believers. Let us help one another be faithful to the Lord. Okay, well, we'll close there and get into the value and the volume of the book on the backside next week, Lord willing. Father, thank you for the time and your word, providing just some background. I trust that this will make good explanation. I pray that the folks might even look back over it as they get into the book of 1 and 2 Thessalonians themselves in their own personal study. Lord, we're amazed at the testimony of the Thessalonians, that they remained faithful to you even in the days and hours of persecution. Lord, from every description in the book of Acts, those Jews that did not come to Christ were just very rebellious and they were bad against the Christians. Thank you that the Thessalonians stayed faithful to you, even though they faced even some false teachings as we've studied through the book of 1 Thessalonians, yet they remained faithful in their walk. Help us to do the same, and help us to grow believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, even young believers that we bring to Christ. May we be faithful in our teaching them God's word so that they can stand true to you, stand strong in the faith, even though they're young in the Lord. So give us strength to be good disciples as well. Now bless the rest of this week. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, trust you have a good rest of the evening. We'll look forward to seeing you Saturday or Sunday.